Hello, and welcome to Cinematic Sevens, list of seven films based upon simple themes. I'm Stephen.
I'm Smokey.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right, mate. Whoa, switching it around. Yeah. I'm good, thank you.
You've been looking forward to this, I think, haven't you?
I have. If you'll permit me to do a little backstory, we were supposed to record this a week ago.
We were, mm-hmm. Yes.
Unfortunately, we couldn't get that done a week ago.
It was November the 5th when we were meant to be recording it, weren't we?
Yeah, and York sounded like Beirut.
Yeah, the fireworks didn't stop going off until 2 a.m.
It was about that time.
Which time it was far too late.
It was exceedingly too late to do it. So we've had a little gap in between. But as I mentioned to you earlier this evening, this has been proactive.
Yes, because it was advantageous to you, wasn't it?
It was advantageous to me. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. So yes, and it's given me a couple more for my list.
Excellent.
Mm. So to fill the dear and valued listeners in, what was the topic?
It was quite a simple one. It was having a girl's name in the title of the film.
A female name?
Yeah.
Can't say girl's name.
Well, it's better than you saying bird.
Well, yes, of course. Sure. And apparently there are some people out there who don't like me using that word.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to use it anymore.
So yes, it was having a female name in the actual title.
Excellent, excellent.
Now, this was, in some respects, quite an easy one, and deliberately so, to try and encourage people to be involved. But the harder thing, I think, was actually trying to whittle it down to seven.
That's what I'm saying. So you say it's an easy one, but when we did the cinematic sevens before, and thank you for the feedback for the pilot, by the way, everyone. That was very sweet of you. We had subjects that we thought were easy, but then that just threw up so many more movies.
Yes.
To whittle, as you say, to whittle them down to seven. I love that word, whittle. It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah, it's great. To whittle them down to seven was actually quite tricky.
Yes.
And this one is, and I think that'll be evidenced by our honourable mentions.
Honourable mentions that'll probably go into a list of about 20 or 30.
Probably, yes, yeah.
So we had contributions from other people as well, which we'll say after we have done our individual.
They will come at the end of the show. Of course they will. So I am excited. The first ever Cinematics pop.
Your Galahad, your electronic cigarette.
I do.
Are we going to have to stop calling you smoking, start calling you vapory?
Carry on. I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer.
So, how about you present me and the dear and valued listeners with your first choice?
All right, fair enough. So, number one of the seven. It's going to be no surprise, and I thought I'd go not shock you and go the obvious route, because I never, ever do that.
It's going to be quite a change.
That's a mind blower, yeah.
This is unexpected in the...
Exactly. So I've got to go with... I had to go with it for the first one. One of the finest movies made in the last 20 years, maybe. Had to go with Amelie.
Yeah.
2001 French movie, Amelie, just fucking... Audrey Tautou.
It's the word I've used before recently.
What, fucking Audrey Tautou?
That's in a different context. the word I've used for a number of films recently that we've watched was Resplendent. And this totally is a piece of beauty and real art, as well as a very sweet piece that isn't saccharine. I mean, we've had the proper review of it before when we've talked about it, but it's amazing as a film.
It is.
It really is. It reaches across a boundary where normally blokes wouldn't be into films of a certain type, and this is just too perfect a film to be restricted by any gender barriers or language barriers.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's something, again, I say quite often as well, which is it is a stunning piece of work.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Audrey Tautou is...
beautiful.
And
talented.
Oh, God, is there anything this woman can't do? I'm sure there is, but she will never tell us. But it's just an incredible film. And I know some people out there who haven't seen it. I know some people out there who have seen it and don't like it.
What, people don't like Amelie?
Yeah, they do exist, believe it or not. I know one that instantly sticks in the head, but I won't say who she is. She knows who she is. So,
your mum?
No. I'll tell you off air. Yeah. This is an 8.5 on IMDb.
Right.
I personally would rate it a 9. I don't know about you.
I'd probably put it at least a 9, if not.
A 9 gnomes out of 10?
Yeah, probably.
We very rarely get to hear your rating out of 10, but this is going to be interesting if we do carry on in this manner.
Yeah, we won't. Anyway.
You shit. But this is an exceptional movie, one that I think that everyone should see, even if they're not a fan of subtitles or French movies or just world cinema in general. It is one that should definitely be watched by everyone.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't hesitate to agree with that.
Yeah. Everyone should own it. Everyone should lend it. Everyone should see it.
Yep.
There we go.
Absolutely.
I'm going to change tack slightly.
Okay.
Fly across to number two. It's got to be Carrie. Obviously, I'm talking about the 1976 version, the De Palma with Sissy Spacek, Nancy Allen, and John Travolta.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, the remake, the reboot, whatever you want to call it, I don't think is fit to lick its boots. I know some people have a different opinion. That's fine. They're allowed to be wrong. But this is brilliant.
It is. I mean, it's of a genre of films which normally doesn't really appeal a lot to me.
A little backstory there. You're not a massive horror fan, are you?
I don't like horror as a genre, no. I like individual films are actually good films.
Yeah.
But as a genre, I think it's usually the repository of lazy filmmaking.
Right.
But this absolutely can't fall into the category of laziness at all. It's a really good film.
It
stands as a good film regardless of genre.
I can completely agree and appreciate where you're coming from. I can. Sissy Spacek's performance alone deserves just recognition from this film.
Oh, yes.
It's creepy and understated at the same time, which is very hard to do, but she does it very, very well. And you feel sorry for this little girl who kills a lot of people in the end.
Well, this is it. Yeah.
Little girl who was in her 30s.
Well, but there you go. It's a common thread, that.
It is. But I think the original Carrie, the 6th Carrie, is one of the best horror movies. Okay, granted, it doesn't reach up there. With other movies that are considered more classic, that are given classic status more than this movie is, i.e. The Shining, or American Werewolf, or The Thing, or something like that, or The Evil Dead. I mean, they're some of my favourite horror movies of all time. But I really enjoyed the film. Don't really know much more I can say about Carrie. It's a great horror film.
It is. It's a great film.
It's a great film. Opinion. Yes,
I mean,
you're right.
Separate it from its genre because I feel that drags it down. So it's absolutely one that.
Was this on your list?
Yeah.
It is on your list, excellent. Yeah. We used to do that. We've forgotten. It's been so long since we've done cinematic episodes. You used to tell me if these ones were on your list.
Should I backtrack to the other ones previously then?
Well, there was only one.
And we can cut it in. Well, Amelie.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
That's on your list.
Definitely in there. And Carrie as well.
Carrie is on your list as well. It's all right. This is our proper first episode. Yeah. We're allowed a couple of gremlins.
We make up the format as we go along.
Exactly. It's our show. We can do what we want.
Absolutely. This is on my list because it is... this is a great film, regardless of genre.
Yes.
So that's why it deserves to be there. Well, yeah. I mean, De Palma's not untalented in that area.
Not at all. No.
So
if you remember that scene towards the end where everything's moving backwards, but everything's going forwards at the same time, that was just brilliant. Very, very clever. Okay. Number three?
Yes, please.
Number three. Okay, well, I'm going to change tack again.
This is oscillating wildly.
I know. Oh, I love that word. So, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you here.
Oh, it's not a baseball
film. Well, I can't think of any baseball films with a woman's name in the title, can you?
Well, no, because I can't really think of more than three different baseball films. So.
Unless you've ever met a woman in your life called Bull Durham, then I don't think we're going to manage that.
No, as it happens.
Or Brewster.
No, I haven't actually encountered. No.
Okay, so here's my curveball movie at you, curveball film. It is the 1987 movie Rita, Sue, and Bob 2.
That's on my my honourable mentions.
Mentions.
It's on my additional mentions. All rather right. than, it's one on my list that I didn't. It's not necessarily a film that. Honourable.
Okay, fair enough.
But yes, it's on my list.
Fair enough. Well, if anyone out there doesn't know this story, it's a very low-budget, late 80s, grimy British production from Alan Clark. And there are a couple of reasons why this one stuck in my head when you said about women's names in the title.
Well, it's got two for a start.
It's got two for a start off, so that's a twofer. That's always good.
Does it take up two of your
options? No, it's just one. One is that as an impressionable young lad...
You got to see some ladies' parts.
Well, no. That's the whole thing about this movie. This film is basically about two babysitters who have an affair with the... no, they're not babysitters. They're house sitters, if I remember rightly. They're the couple down child. With the man of the house, they have an affair with them. Yeah. So it's a threesome between them all. And as I said, it's very grimy and it's very dowdy. And it's actually not an enjoyable watch, really.
No.
And there is no boobs. There is no snatch. There is nothing like that. And the sex scene, I think there's only one, if I remember rightly.
When they're underneath the covers anyway.
No. They're in a car.
Right.
And see, I remember it as well. And they lower down the passenger seat and then they get to it. You don't see anything at all. But Michelle Holmes, who plays either Rich or Sue, I can't remember, has an amazing orgasm.
Oh,
right. So as an impressionable young man of about 9 or 10 when I think I saw this, when I really shouldn't have been watching it, that was helpful.
I see.
Yes. So,
you know what you're aiming for?
Well, I know what I was aiming for at the time, but yeah, so... I haven't seen this film in about 15 years, I don't think, but it was a very useful, before the age of internet and Wi-Fi and U-Porn and all that,
you've still not got the internet.
Well, that's true, but, or Porn Tube. Yeah, this was a very handy aid. Yeah, this was helpful. Yes. Not a very good movie, to be perfectly honest, but it's a gritty piece of British grime.
It's sold to you with a... free box of man-sized tissues.
No. I wish it had, but no. It's God. I don't know. If you want to see a sort of bit of gritty English realism, then I suppose there's something in there for you. But
well, it's kind of realism, yeah. But it's also got a kind of
the British, nihilism.
The sort of the British attitude of taking the piss as well out of the situation and the people involved in it. They don't fit anywhere well, and it's got its tongue in its cheek as well as it being quite dark in areas. It's got a mixture of both, I think.
Oh no, it does. But there's also something you just brought to mind, which is
tongues in cheek.
There is that, but it does highlight this sort of weird stereotype of the working class versus the middle class, not the upper class, the middle class. Yeah. And so there is that juxtaposition as well, which is now I think about it. I need to watch this movie again. I think it might have more to say, and not just the first 10 minutes.
Yes.
So there we go. So you said that was on your honourable mentions.
It was on my additional mentions.
Additional mentions, so not honourable. Right,
no,
okay.
Totally, no.
Fair enough.
But it was there.
I'll let you have that one. Okay. I mean, this whole list, now that I'm looking at my 7, is jumping all over the place, so we might as well just jump all over the place. And I think I've got an order now. So, number 4, coming at you. The 1997 movie, Jason Emmy, Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, Joey Lauren Adams.
Yeah.
Jason Lee, I really like Jason Emmy. I think it's very, very good. I know you've seen it. Yes. I think it's been a while since you've seen it, though, hasn't it?
It's been over a year since I've seen it.
I bought it for you last Christmas. Have you watched it since?
No.
Fair enough.
No, because it had been not long before I'd actually seen it.
Ah, okay.
So I didn't want to watch it again too frequently. Right. So it'd be coming up to a year since I've seen it. So, don't like to watch things too frequently.
Fair play. Guess a 7.4 on IMDb. I'd say that's about right.
I'd say that's fair, yeah.
Between 7 and 8, I think that's fair.
I might have nudged it down to a 7.
Really? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but 7, 7.5, yeah.
Fair play. I think this was Kevin Smith's finest work. Up until Red State, I think this was his best movie. Had a fantastic script. It was the principal parts. Ben Affleck was very good. Joey Lauren Adams, I think, is fantastic. I think she was born to play this part. And I think her career post Chasing Amy has proved that. So, unfortunately, it hasn't been great. But then she did star in an Adam Sandler movie, so...
Well, that's
there you go.
Kind of payback, you know. Yeah,
that was a problem. I really like Chasing Amy. I think it's very funny. I think it touches on very interesting subjects as well. The whole sort of turning a lesbian to make a straight kind of thing is a little stretched.
I think that could be in some quarters considered to be quite insulting.
I think so. Even if the bloke is Ben Affleck.
Yeah. So I do think that aspect of it is something that doesn't come across well, and I think reflects the maturity level of Kevin Smith in some respects at the time. I don't think he'd be doing anything like that now. Yep. I mean, he's got any kind of homophobia, because he's
not at all.
Close family members that are, and he's very much
pro-homosexuality, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yep. Well, he talks about things on his podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think this was a bit of a, in that respect, it was childish. The other aspects of it about how well the actual dialogue was written and the acting and things, that was done well. I mean, I still prefer Dogma to that. But
on a shoestring budget, this was made for $250,000.
Yeah,
I mean, that's incredible in itself.
Absolutely.
But it's funny you mentioned that about the maturity thing. He has since, in certain interviews, someone asked him if he would ever consider making a science fiction movie. Mm. And he said, I already did, and it was Chasing Amy. So he can now freely admit.
Well, yeah, I think he's grown from there and actually recognises the error, you could say, in that.
Yes.
But yeah, it didn't qualify it to be written off entirely as a film, definitely. So
the script in itself is incredible. Yeah. It's very, very good. As I said, the principal actors are outstanding. Jason Lee was great as the put upon rumour, the vitriolic person of the piece. He does that so bloody well. Another person who was meant to be that character. And thank God that the studio didn't get their way, which is that the, for the three main parts, they were John Stewart, Drew Barrymore, and David Schwimmer.
Yeah, that wouldn't have ended well, would it?
That would have been terrible. That would have been absolutely
terrible.
So she
would have said goodbye to her career long before Adam Sandler got near anybody else's career, yeah. So.
Very true. So let's chop and change around again. So we move on for the from the lesbian antics of Chasing Amy, and we go on to the 1989 movie Driving Miss Daisy. Is that on your list?
It was initially in my list of seven, and then it dropped out into being an honourable mention.
Something else came in and knocked it out.
Yeah,
right.
But it's a very heartwarming tale. It addresses a lot of issues about generational issues between parents and children, between black people and white people, between the classes as well. It addresses a lot of that and does it in an incredible way, which is well scripted.
Yep.
And performed beautifully, Jessica Tandy and Morgan Freeman, particularly, who are the principal two parts in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just outstanding performances from both of them, and it works incredibly well. Mm. I think it deserves more praise than it actually gets on as a rating on IMDb, if I remember correctly. It's only in 7 points, is it?
7.4 on IMDb.
It definitely is 8.5, in my opinion.
At least, yeah. I will totally hold my hands up to this and say I completely forgot this was a Best Picture winner. And for a, and as you say, and for a Best Picture winner, we don't always put a lot of stock in the Oscars, but they got it right with this one.
Yeah.
And it should be higher than that on IMDb. I think this was the first film I ever saw Morgan Freeman in. If I think back to when I was young.
Yeah, it was me.
It was you. Oh, you were in this movie?
it was me playing Morgan Freeman.
Well, let's see you, Morgan Freeman.
Well, I can't do it now. I'm older now. I can't do that youthful voice that he's got.
I don't think Morgan Freeman ever had a youthful voice, to be fair. I was 7 years old when this came out. I got taken to the cinema to see it by my parents.
Right, did they leave you there?
No.
And unfortunately you came back.
No, they took me home. This is a PG movie. Honestly don't remember it being a PG movie. But then again, I really don't remember much of watching it in the cinema. I think I was too young to appreciate it, really. As you say, the performances are outstanding. Jessica Tandy won the Oscar and she thoroughly deserved it.
Yeah.
I did see some horrible, wanky detractors online saying, oh, it was only because she wasn't given one in her earlier career. And it was like, fuck off. She is Paul Newman, right? They didn't just give her a sympathy one like they did with him and Martin Scorsese, which unfortunately they have done over the years.
Mm.
This was thoroughly deserved.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what a great film. And actually, this was something I wanted to thank you for was, after, you know, thinking about what movies I wanted to put into this list, I realised I haven't seen this in over 10 years and I really want to go out and watch it again. It's put it in my head, need to see this movie again.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether we should again pencil it in as being a future watch for the show.
Okay, maybe, but yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea. Maybe Forgotten Best Picture Winners or something like that. Well, our tenuous link.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that could be number one. Excellent. We'll certainly find out. So definitely Driving Miss Daisy, I couldn't leave off the top seven.
No, it's a very good film.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm down to number six, and I will again throw a little curveball at you, and I will go with the 1989 again movie, Shirley Valentine.
Now, that's one I actually missed off my list entirely.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, excellent. Good. I like to throw a little, surprise.
That I did miss off my list.
Right. Yeah. You've seen it?
Yes, obviously, yeah. And it's a very good film. I mean, it's based upon a play, isn't it?
It is. With Russell.
Yeah. But no, I think it's a really good film.
Yeah. I think if we class ourselves as the same generation, I know we've got a few years between, but I think we are. I think this film was unavoidable growing up.
Yeah. This,
it was everywhere.
It struck a chord, the actual idea behind it still struck a chord, I think, with the changing attitudes towards women's roles.
That's right. The housewife ideal.
Particularly of that class,
mm-hmm.
how things were changing, and I think that it was very much a product of its time and captured a mood, which is why it did enter the consciousness of the public so much for people of that time.
Yeah, I think if you want to add a sort of cultural significance to sort of modern time, you know, sort of the Best Marigold Hotel and Quartet and things like that, they're appealing to sort of, I'm not going to pigeonhole anyone, but the sort of the 50 to 60 generation now, this is what Shirley Valentine did in the late 80s for the sort of the 40 to 50s British women. It was, I mean, if you read the synopsis on IMDb, I mean, it is about a middle-aged housewife who finds herself talking to the wall while making her husband's dinner because she's got nothing else to do. And then she decides to have a life and find happiness in Greece, she goes to. And it was, I think it resonated with a lot of people. And why the hell not?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was round about within a year or so either side of this, Educating Rita was out as well.
Yes, and actually by the same writer, wasn't it? Wasn't it really Willie Russell did that?
Because that's a one that I can't believe I missed out this, considering I did have.
Actually, now you've said that, I've missed it out as well. Fuck, we both missed Educating Rita.
No, I mean, I added on my list. I didn't have it as a seven, but I did have it on my list.
I haven't got it on any.
Shirley Valentine, I didn't have on. So we've got the pair of them.
we win.
So, but Educating Rita again, it was about women's roles changing, particularly of that class, and them having a life. And one, it was going and finding love in, you know, with somebody who normally they wouldn't have been expected to and everything.
But that's the point. Yeah. Sorry, let me just interject there. That's the point of Shirley Valentine, is she doesn't find love with a person, she finds it with a place.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a great
thing. And the other one is through academia, through been realising that they're not just one role, they've
Educating
got...
Right. How did I miss that?
They both have a similar idea behind them, just a different angle.
Yeah, yeah. Pauline Collins and Tom Conti, fantastic. Both great roles. I mean, him as the stereotypical Greek man was just... I remember that sort of sticking in my head, and it's just... Was it that, you think I want to make fuck with you and that kind of thing? And it was just, it was such a great line that just kind of sticks in your head. Also, Joanna Lumley in there as well. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
She was a very expensive prostitute.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was nice, to be fair.
Probably would be.
Probably. So, Shirley Valentine, I thought that would be a little... I'm glad you didn't think of that. I wanted to at least throw one out that you hadn't thought of. So, but then you threw Educating Rita back at me and I completely forgot about that. And I'm going, little quick aside about Educating Rita. One of those ones like Casablanca with the most misquoted line ever. Not a lot of people know that by Mark Twain. That's not the line at all.
Yeah. No, it's not,
Rewatch that movie, kiddies, and you'll find out it's not many people know that.
Yeah.
Don't want to be an arsehole, but it's true, so... Fucking stop it, people.
Well, you're not an arsehole for saying that.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway.
You shit. Right, so we've flown through these and I'm on to my last one, number seven. Oh, it's kind of sad. So here we go, the 1964 movie Marnie, the Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, it's on my list.
I think it's on your list. It's on your one. Okay. It's, I think it's Hitchcock's most underrated movie. Was critically panned when it came out. Was not very popular at all. Starring Tippi Hedren and Sean Connery. They're the main two parts in it, really. The main primary reason that I like this movie, and I tell this to everyone who talks about Hitchcock to me, which is quite a few, the main selling point for this is that Sean Connery plays a complete and utter bastard.
Yes.
He is not a likable man in this movie. He is horrible. He is pretty violent and disrespectful of women in general.
Yes.
Not very good. But Connery fucking nails it.
Yeah.
He does so well with that role. And it's just, I mean, and to be Hedren, if you discount The Birds, and that's the movie The Birds, not
the band.
And not the females.
Oh,
yes. She has a fantastic performance. She does it bloody well. And I really enjoy Marnie. I think it's a fantastic film. And obviously it's Hitchcock, so I'm going to like it anyway. But no, it's exceedingly underrated. And a 7.2 on IMDb is not enough for that movie.
No, absolutely not.
Don't get me wrong. Being a Hitchcock film shouldn't be a guarantee of quality.
No, because, you know, Trouble with Harry.
But then that wasn't awful.
No, but it was quite mediocre.
Yeah, but
it was quite a miss.
Hitchcock mediocre, that's still...
Yeah, but even then, it wasn't great.
Right,
wasn't a great film. It was passable. Fair rather enough. Than anything better than that.
I just love the poster for Marnie, which is Hitchcock's suspenseful sex mystery. That sounds like it could be a home movie.
Thankfully not.
But Marnie is a fantastic Hitchcock movie. If you haven't seen it, I know some of you are a little lacking in your Hitchcock. So maybe you should check that one out as well. So that was my seven.
Right.
That flew by very, very quickly.
It did.
For me.
Yeah.
So, what would you like to do? Would you like to go on to your list, ones that I missed?
Yeah, I can add on to mine that we missed out on that. Alphabetically, we'll go for it a bit. Mm-hmm. I did have Amelie. So, next after that was Annie Hall.
I left off Annie Hall because we used it before on a previous list.
Mm-hmm.
The movies with a full name.
Yes.
Christine Ann's surname.
Yeah.
So I'd already talked about that before. Love the film, love Woody Allen, as you know, but I thought I'd leave it off because of that. And I think there may be a couple more that I've already said. So. Yeah.
Elizabeth?
That's on my honourable mentions, in fact. I will bring them up now. But yes, Cate Blanchett, we both like very, very much.
Yeah.
As an actor and a beauty.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was on my honourable mentions. How many, let me just ask, how many honourable mentions do you have?
Well, I try not to have it running over 7, because okay. That would be, kind of defeat the object of having them as honourable.
I've got 6, and you've already mentioned 2. You've mentioned Elizabeth and Annie Hall, so yeah.
I haven't actually stratified mine between other mentions and honourable ones. It's just individually me deciding whether it was honourable or
fair play.
Or not.
Fair
play. So next after that was Frida.
Frida, the Salma Hayek movie, yes. Only reason I didn't really put that on my list is I haven't seen it.
Right, okay.
So I've heard her performance of it. Was she nominated for an Oscar for her role?
Yeah.
I think she was.
She was definitely, the other thing is, for that particular film, it was the one that was very important to her, and she produced it and had involvement all the way along it, because it was a personal project for her.
Yeah, and she does bear a striking resemblance to the real Frida.
As long as you join up her eyebrows, she does look like
her. She had the monobrow thing going on. Yeah, yeah. But I haven't seen it. It's one of my omissions. I would like to see it as well.
The next one on the list is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Oh, my word. I didn't even think about that. Yes, of course. That's, what a creepy movie that is.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
It is, yes. Well, which we
mentioned.
Kind of, when we did Mummy Dearest, when we reviewed that.
Which is, very creepy film indeed. And the really intense performances that are...
Yeah.
It really, really does strike at you, really, with the dialogue and the performances being very hyped up.
But more so because you knew some of it was real.
Which is it.
The fractious relationship that those two had together that culminated in making this terrifying fucking spectacle.
It really did. I mean, that's from 1962.
Of course. I need to watch that movie.
Did that win
an Oscar? Did that win a Best Picture?
I'm not sure it did. I don't tend to care.
If it did, then we must couple that with Driving for Stacey.
it's about these two great actresses playing these parts, where one of them's a tormented from a child that
fading
with a crippled sister,
and they hated each other
film, and you can tell, and it just it's incredible. So the other one that I had to flesh out that you hadn't mentioned, because some of them you had, is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
But
Richard Burton.
Unfortunately, again, it's a gaff on my list. I haven't seen it. I remember the JT reviewing it very, very well some months back.
Again, the dialogue and the performances are very intense. Again, it's very much like a theatrical release, as we discussed before.
Of course.
Where the performances, it's very condensed in the space it takes
in
and the number of cast members to it. Mm-hmm. And it being dialogue heavy, performance heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. I mean, obviously, again, it's covering a subject matter that is quite personal to the people playing the two main parts, because it's very about alcoholism and the relationship breakdown, which of course is
general
what
distrust,
they were having.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Which reflects their own relationship. So again, it's kind of them having the art is imitating life in some ways.
Yeah.
But very intense performances from that all the way through. So that was the completion of my 7.
Yep.
We've had correspondence, thankfully.
Outstanding.
Now, I don't think one of the correspondents will be a surprise to you, but just quickly for some of the short correspondence before then.
Okay.
Digital Harlot, which is Pixie, my...
Hello, Pixie.
Close friend. She said Amelie as well.
Of course.
And she also mentioned Jack and Sarah.
Jack and Sarah. Oh, the Richard E. Grant and Samantha Mathis movie. Yes. I love Samantha Mathis.
So.
Let me just put this. From watching Pump Up the Volume when I was a young man and seeing that scene where she just takes her top off and just tries to seduce Christian Slater.
There's a winning theme for you.
I'm sorry. I was an impressionable young man. And, but thank you for that, Pixie.
Absolutely, yeah. And the Twitter account of Cinema Jaw.
Ah, right, okay.
Which is a very good website and podcast. It's worth you checking out. They have some great stuff on them, not just reviews, but other actual articles about things to do with film. Very good indeed. Yeah, yeah. They just added in Sarah's Key.
Sarah's Key.
Which I don't know as a film.
Now that one rings a bell.
That might be
I know, it's Kristen Scott Thomas.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes, yes. I don't know anything about it, but I remember it's one of those ones, because you know Kristen Scott Thomas is bilingual. She
does movies over here, and she lives over in Paris, though.
She does. I know it's a French movie, but that's all I know. That I couldn't tell you anymore. So you almost foxed me. You've 40% foxed me.
Right.
Right, okay. What's next, mate?
It's one from our regular emailer.
Oh, Jim from Swanscombe.
Mr. Bobby Polanco.
Bobby P. Yes.
Bobby P himself.
Yeah.
Dear HOM, referring to the previous compilation show, that was an epic show.
Oh, my word.
You both named over 100 movies, including alternates, missed, etc. I think that's what makes the show so great, and I enjoy trying to come up with titles.
My word.
He's made a suggestion for a future show, so I'll keep that.
Fair enough. Keep that secret, yeah. Do you remember when I said this bloke's an overachiever?
He is, yeah.
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 Thank you, Bobby.
And he said he's dying to hear the next Cinematic Sevens. So here you go, Robbie.
Here we go.
Hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And he gave his picks.
Mm.
So, in no particular order.
Okay.
There's Something About Mary.
I hate that movie.
Yeah. But, you know, it qualifies. So he's right in that respect. If he chooses it to be a film that he thinks is worthy.
He okay. himself is right. I just don't like that film.
Right. That's
I didn't. If you're going to go for a Farrelly Brothers movie, if we're just talking about Farrelly Brothers, then Kingpin.
Yeah, but that wouldn't qualify for the girl.
Unless you had a girl, girl called Kingpin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bobby.
Peggy Sue Got Married.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yes.
One of Nicolas Cage's best performances.
One of
Kathleen Turner's.
One of his only bearable performances. Yeah,
and before Kathleen Turner became a man. Yes. Yeah, it was absolutely excellent. Yeah.
So, now Snow White and the Huntsman.
That's Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether we can allow Snow White as an actual name or not, but I think that's a grey area that we'll allow him since it's Bobby P.
Well, the only other way, if we said that Snow White wasn't a female name, the only way we could let it is that, you know, there's a species of spider that's called the huntsman spider. Yeah. So if it's a female huntsman spider, then we'll allow that.
We'll allow that, yes.
Yeah. There you go. All right, we'll let you have that, Bobby.
Red Sonja.
Oh, shit. Oh, Bridget Nielsen. Yeah, see, again, she can't be classed as a woman anymore because she's all made of plastic now. But Sonia's a name, so
it works. Yeah. So
and we didn't think of that. So
well, it was on my my additional list.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So was Peggy Sue Got Married as well, okay. And Something About Mary. They were on my additional list as well.
Right.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I'd missed out off my other list.
I must
confess.
Discounted it because it was half an hour of a really good movie and then an hour of a really terrible movie. So.
Well,
it has a great cast, though. Yeah.
Well, it qualifies.
Jennifer Carpenter, and I think Tom Wilkinson's in there as well, if I've got the right movie. So, but yeah.
But yes, it qualifies, Robbie.
It does qualify.
It does. And his sixth one is Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
It's on my honourable mentions. Yeah,
it's on my additional list as well, yeah.
Makes the honourable mentions just for the frosting scene alone.
Right.
Come on, that was awesome.
It's got a number of moments in that film. Hasn't it? And finally, from his list, he has G.I. Jane, which is not necessarily a film I think is great, but it certainly qualifies, Robbie.
It certainly does qualify, yes, yes. We can't say that doesn't. I do happen to know that a good friend of ours who might happen to bat for the other side would put that instantly at number one.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was Robbie's picks.
But let me just throw this in there, is that we have a bit of a fucking predilection against fucking Demi Moore after Half-Life anyway. So.
Well, we do, yeah. That was Robbie's picks.
Robbie.
But then additional to that, Robbie actually put in from his wife Shira.
Oh, okay.
Shira. I must confess, I don't know how it's pronounced. Thank her for her contribution.
Thank you.
Finally, Mrs. Polanco.
Mrs. Polanco. Hey, Mrs. P.
Mrs. P.
Mrs. P.
So.
Or do you do it like a Consuela? Missy P.
Missy P. No,
Missy P. What was her suggestion, by the way?
She's come up with her seven. Oh, Carrie.
Another seven. Oh, excellent.
Yeah, you see.
Did she specify which Carrie?
She didn't, so I assume she just meant the original, because...
hope so. Well, she's not a 14-year-old girl, so she wouldn't pick the original. Remake, sorry.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Lovely.
As we said. Now, Marley and Me.
Oh, right, okay.
Now...
I'm not an Owen Wilson fan. I'm not a Jennifer Aniston fan.
No,
so.
No. I assume the dog probably was a female dog.
It's very possible. But then I also know the end of that movie without having seen it.
Right.
So I won't say it here.
So it's acceptable in a way. So,
it is acceptable. Well done. Well done.
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas. Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Yeah, is she going to say Mulan as well? Because that was a girl's name in there as well. But Disney. Okay. Well, Mrs. Smokey would appreciate that I'll let her have that.
Thelma and Louise, which was on my additional list.
That have been a twofer as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be, yeah. It's not an honourable mention because I don't think it's a great film, personally. I just don't like it, but I don't think it's aimed at me.
It's not aimed at you, no. I think it is a good film, but the thing I love just throwing on people when they talk about Thelma and Louise is that everyone forgets it's a Ridley Scott movie. Everyone sort of goes, is it? Is it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. But yeah, it's fine.
So also for Mrs. P is... Mary P, as in Poppins.
Ah, Mary Poppins. I haven't seen it. I'm sure
Mrs. Smokey will fix that for you at some point.
I'm sure she fucking will.
Yeah. And finally for Mrs. P is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I haven't seen it.
I didn't have on my list.
I
did have Mary Poppins, but I didn't have...
Would rather eat my own scrotum than watch a fucking Russell Brand movie. So it does count. Well done, Mrs. P, but... I can't stand Russell Brand.
And speaking of Mrs. Smokey.
Oh, yeah.
Her list. Yeah. Ones that she's,
has she been messaging you behind my back?
Yes. Yes, not for the first time.
No, it's not. That's worrying.
She put down Amelie as well.
Mm.
And Mary Poppins, as I say.
Well, I introduced Mrs. Smokey to Amelie, so I take some of the credit there. So.
And this was in a list in collaboration with her housemate, Laura.
Oh, yes, the lovely Italian Laura. Yeah. Hello, Laura.
Ciao.
Come si dice. That's all I know in Italian.
She also said Pocahontas, Becoming Jane.
Becoming Jane. Oh, that's the Jane Austen one, isn't it? Film, yeah. Is that Anne Hathaway, was it?
I think so, yes. And Marie Antoinette.
Oh, good call. The one that got the longest booing session ever at the Cannes Film Festival.
Well, that would be the one, yes. Yeah. So that was from them. And of course...
Thank you, Mrs. Smokey and Laura.
Mrs. Smokey, we do appreciate your input, absolutely.
We do, always.
From Tommy of...
Tommy.
ABH.
Oh, yes.
And of Ship Tie and Transit.
Yep.
And the Joe and Tom Show.
Yep.
he put his forward, and it's very much grateful that he did.
Of course.
So he has put forward Muriel's Wedding.
I did like that movie.
Which is on my additional list.
Yeah, it's Toni Collette and Rachel Griffiths, isn't it? Yeah, that was a good film. Well done. Well said, Tommy. Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland, which you haven't seen.
Nope. Which one?
Just, I don't know.
Any
just
of them.
Just any of them.
Any of them. It's got Alice in the title.
Yeah. Amelie, he said. Of course. Which is, you know, to his credit.
Good lad. Everyone's coming up with Amelie. I'm liking this. Yeah.
Another one off my additional list is Coraline.
Of course. We only spoke about that last episode, didn't we?
Yep.
For HOM. Yeah.
Yeah. My Week with Marilyn.
Haven't seen it.
I have.
Haven't seen
it's all right.
It's, what was her name? Playing Marilyn? I can't remember her name. But yeah, apparently it's very good. Kenneth Branagh, wasn't it? A movie?
Sid and Nancy.
Michelle Williams, that was it. Sorry, I just remembered her name. Played Marilyn. Sid and Nancy, all right, fair enough. We talked about that recently as well, didn't we?
Yeah, awesome performance. Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, yeah. Who played Nancy?
I can't remember.
I can't either. Never mind.
And finally from him was Philomena, which I haven't seen, but I understand to be absolutely excellent.
Judy Dench.
So, our Judy.
We're our Judy. Your Judy. Yeah.
So,
we're
a salute there for you, Tommy, for getting Judy into her.
I think he just wanted... He's placating to her.
So, he did say, luckily, I didn't have to go for Bridget Jones. So, he's
if
gained points for that as well.
If anyone submits that, then they're off. They're off the list.
So,
straight away. So, should we alternate with some honourable mentions?
We can do, yeah.
Well, as I said, you already got a couple of mine, so I will lead off my next one on my list. Gia.
Oh,
Angelina Jolie. Model.
Yeah.
Lots of naked Angelina Jolie and modelling. obviously a lot of drug abuse and alcohol and whatnot, and a bit of a tragic, very tragic story, really. But I think that's the performance that put Angelina on the map, and thoroughly deserved as well. Mm. I think possibly she should have got her Oscar nod from that instead of Girl Interrupted. She was very good in Girl Interrupted, but I think that was a little bit better.
Yes.
For want of another word.
I think you're right there, yeah.
Yeah, Gia, I think, is a thoroughly deserved honourable mention.
Yep.
What did you have next, mate?
Vera Drake.
Ah, The lovely Imelda Staunton.
Yep.
Yeah, that was missing off both my lists. My word, I'm missing a couple tonight. But yeah, fantastic performance. As you say, what did you say? A performance of great stature,
yeah.
Even for a little person. She is tiny, bless her.
Yeah.
But we love Imelda Staunton around here, so.
We do.
Yeah. Well done. That's a great pull. Well done. A couple that we've mentioned either in previous episodes or we've already reviewed, so I won't dwell too long on those. Yeah. Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I had that originally on my list as one of the sevens, and then it occurred to me, because it's Tiffany's, that's actually a surname. So for my personal feeling, I felt it didn't actually qualify. I can accept that it's a really good film.
I think it does.
But
because it is a first name, but with an apostrophe. So I think it does count.
It's Tiffany & Co. as in the...
Well, true, but Tiffany is a name.
It is, yeah. This is why it was a grey area for me. But I felt personally I'll move it on to an honourable mention rather than have it as a...
Well, I left it off because we Cinematic Sevens we did about the prostitutes.
Mm.
That was one
that you missed.
It was, but well... So I thought I'd leave it on the honourable mentions. It is there. I think someone, correct me if I'm wrong, already mentioned Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Yes.
That was on my honourable mentions.
So for me, next one.
Hannah. Sorry, I jumped in on there. Sorry.
Hannah,
yes, that's on my list. Yeah.
Which is a very good film, actually.
It is a
action-wise.
Swarish Ronan, if I pronounce that right. Yeah. Is it Swarish?
It's something like that. Yeah.
Thingy Ronan, she was she was great.
And, Miss Ronan,
well said. One of the few movies that I've seen Eric Banner in when he isn't really annoying.
Yeah.
So I'll go with that. Another one that we reviewed. Me and Mrs. Smokey reviewed Fish Called Wanda.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Was that on any of yours?
Further down the list, yeah.
Further on yours, yeah. And great British comedy. Love that film. Love that film to pieces. Your next one.
Next one from me. You've done Chasing Amy. Run Lola Run.
Oh, of course. Yes, I do like that film as well.
Which is mentioned excellent. Before when we did our Out of Sequence film.
Yes, it was. Yes, the Out of Sync movies. Yes, it was. Let me see. I've done them all. I've done all my ones.
Right.
Yeah. I'm out.
Right, well, Thelma and Louise and Something About Mary was mentioned before. Mary Poppins has been mentioned. Coraline, Rita Sue and Bob too.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah and Her Sisters.
Woody Allen movie?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That's down there. Barbarella?
Oh, my word. How did I miss Barbarella? That was, again, one I watched as a young man.
Yeah, I imagine you might have done, yeah.
Part of my sexual awakening.
Yeah.
Yes, that was that's a very interesting... little movie.
So the only other one then, which was a very much a last minute thing, I just realised that I hadn't got it on the list, and I should have had it on the list. Azumi.
Azume. Yes, that was
delightful Japanese
samurai
story of a schoolgirl who happens to chop people up.
She's very good with the sword.
She's very good with the sword.
I've got one more that has just sprung to my memory, which I really do like when you mentioned Hannah and her sisters. There's Melinda and Belinda, the Woody Allen movie starring Ryder Mitchell, and Will Ferrell's in there as well, unfortunately. I'm sorry. It's telling a story from both sides, comedy and tragedy. It's actually a very clever film. It was not universally liked, but I do I do like that. Actually, now thinking about it, Woody Allen movies, would you have included Blue Jasmine?
Jasmine is in there, so you could have included that, yeah. I avoided a few that could have gone in there, and just because I felt it wasn't really the point of the challenge. So that's the full lot, really.
I think that is.
If you have any extra ones, dear and valued listeners, then please let us know.
Yeah.
If you have your sevens, then you can suggest them to us. Although, if you want to have a go at this challenge yourself, then please feel free to join in on the next challenge, which is jail movies.
Jail movies?
Yeah, movies that in the majority part take place in a jail of some description.
Right.
So the jail is a major component of the actual film.
So, not like, say... Let me think. Just right off the top of my head, like say Brewster's Millions. You see him, Brewster, and John Candy in a cell for one scene.
No, that wouldn't count. Same as Trading Places. He ends up in a jail.
Clerks 2. They end up. You haven't seen that yet. Yeah. They end up in a jail cell for one scene. That wouldn't be counted.
Yeah. No, it's where the jail is a major component and setting for the actual film.
Okay. Okay, I've got a few already.
And I will actually say to you about how you feel about clarifying whether you want such as insane asylums and stuff like that, whether you want them discounted or included, for my own purposes, I would say discount that.
You would say to discount that.
To discount that, so it is purely jails.
Not including
like insane.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I would have gone to, if you wanted to do an all encapsulating thing of saying anything with bars, then that, because then you could have included Cuckoo's Nest and Girl Interrupted and things like that. Okay, fair enough. All right, jail scenes.
Where the jail is a major component and it's not such as insane asylums, etc. It's actual jails. Penitentiaries is the United States.
Criminal penitentiaries. Okay.
So feel free to pass them on to us.
Mm. Yes, please do.
And hashtag your entries on Twitter as Cinematic Sevens.
Please do.
Which is the number 7 and an S.
Mm-hmm.
Sevens.
Must say thank you.
So,
to everyone.
We appreciate, you know, everybody for listening, and that's really important to us.
Of course it is.
Especially with it's been a new show that's really we're trying to spin out and force upon you.
We do that well.
Well, hopefully we do it well enough for them to come back again.
We do.
Particularly thankful to those that have contributed. So that's to Pixie and to Cinema Joe, to Robbie and his wife Shira, to Tommy,
to Mrs. Smokey,
and Mrs. Smokey,
to Laura.
So thank you very much
for all of you. Yes, for contributing. Yeah.
So and hopefully we will be speaking to you again next time.
Yes, hopefully very, very soon, because this is easy. We have an easy show.
Have to watch the films first.
No. This is great. We can just sit around and talk bollocks.
Yeah.
And then talk about movies as well.
Yeah. So, from Cinematic Sevens, I've been Stephen.
I've been Smokey.
Take care.
Bye-bye.